The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. So we thank God for his kindness and his mercies. So today we'll be looking at Jericho. And to bring the word of God to us is our RP, Pastor Kunle Ore. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. For the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, good morning, everybody. You know I didn't say that properly, right? All right, let me say it properly now. Good morning, my neighbors. How are you doing? How are you doing? Okay. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. You may be seated. All right. A gentleman woke up in the morning, and he turned to his clock and looked at the time, and he realized that he woke up at 7:07 a.m. exactly. And he was like, okay, not a big deal. Only for him to realize that that day was actually the seventh day of the seventh month of the year, which was July. So he was like, okay, seven. No, not a big deal. So he went out to get breakfast, and when they brought his bill for him, he looked at the bill, and the bill was exactly $7.77. So he was beginning to like, okay, what's going on here? Is everything just clocking on 7777? So he leaves the breakfast place and says he's going to get a bus to go to work. He waited at the bus station, and his regular bus did not come. And all of a sudden, the bus that turned up to take him to where he was going had written on the body, number 777. Then he starts thinking, God must be saying something to me. So instead of going to work, he decides, look, let me go back home and get my car. So he got his car, decided to go to his bank to check what was going on. So he got to the bank and asked for his bank balance. And they gave him his bank balance, and it was $77,777.77. At this point, he was convinced that there was something that God was saying to him. So he withdraws all the money and decides to go to a racetrack. And as he got to the racetrack, right there, about to start the race, was a horse that was called Lucky Number 7. So he decided to take all of his money, because at this point he was sure there was something God was saying to him about 7. He decided to take all the money and place the bet on Lucky Number 7. And at the end of the day, Lucky Number 7 came seventh in position. Hallelujah. That was supposed to joke. You are supposed to laugh more. Oh, why are you dulling me like this? All right, praise God. At the beginning of this year, you know, for us as a church, the word for us was new wine. And we've read over and over Luke chapter 5, verse 37 to 38, and it states very clearly that no one puts new wine into old wineskins, but new wines must be put into what? New wineskins. So the issue for us, as we know now, by now, is the issue is not whether God is willing to pour the new wine. The issue is whether we have become the kind of vessel that can sustain what he is pouring. You know, what we're going to be talking today is very key and important, because we are, as Pastor said, next week, we're already entering into month 5. Today is the last Sunday of the fourth month of the year. It's as if this year is just on it's like speed racer.
Elijah level
is just running, you know? So, and at the beginning of every year, a lot of us have plans, a lot of us has goals, a lot of us has visions, a lot of us has prayer points that we bring before God. And when the word of God came and said, okay, new wine, we trusted God, and we're still trusting God. Some of us are beginning to like, what's going on here? Is this word not for me? Well, I'd like to let you know that God remains faithful. And he will not disappoint. In the mighty name of Jesus. We will be reading Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 20, which is the story of Jericho. So if CMM can bring it up, I would appreciate that. Joshua chapter 1, chapter 6, verse 1 to 20. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 20. I'll read it. It says, now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut, because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priest and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priest with the horns and some behind the ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout. Do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns again. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priest with the horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. Verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that represents Jericho in our lives today will be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Everything that represents obstacles, that represents hindrance to the plans of God in our lives today, they will fall down flat in the mighty name of Jesus. In this story, we're not just seeing a military victory. We are witnessing a spiritual formation of the children of Israel. It wasn't just the victory that we should focus on, but we should look at what they have become after the victory. This is because before the walls of Jericho fell externally, something had to be addressed internally within the Israelites. Something had to be addressed internally. And this is the question that we bring today. This is the question we hope that we will be able to answer today, which is that what must God complete in me before he releases what he has promised to me? What is it that God must complete in me before he releases what he has promised to me? God had said from the beginning that Jericho was going to come down. But think about it. Why did God have to wait for 7 days? Why did God have to tell them to do all the drama, walking around, blowing horn, moving around, and on? And why did God have to do that? And this question brings us into what we'll be talking about today, which is what I called the 7 S of breaking Jericho. The 7 S. Turn to your neighbor, say S. Say S. The 7 S of breaking Jericho. The number 1 S is your sight. Your sight. What are you facing? What are you facing? Joshua chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside. None went out, none came in." For the children of Israel, Jericho wasn't just a city. Jericho represented like a confrontation. It represented resistance that was intentional. This was a city. The Bible, it recorded that it was shut in and shut out, meaning the people that are in can't go out. The people that can go out, that are outside, cannot come in. It was shut deliberately, intentionally. A lot of times we find ourselves in situations where it appears like the enemy has built fortresses around us intentionally to make us not to function, to make us not to perform. Intentional hindrance, intentional resistance. Again, for the children of Israel, Jericho represented what I would call structured resistance. Structured resistance. The walls of Jericho were structured in such a way that it was impenetrable. It was impenetrable. There was no record before that time that the enemy came and was able to penetrate through the walls. Do we have situations around us like that, that appears that we are in a place where structure does not even allow us to grow? Maybe you have an office. Let me look at an example that we may all be able to relate to. So, for example, perhaps you are working in an organization where maybe because you went to a polytechnic and you have an HND, the structure there says that you cannot rise beyond a particular point. Only people that have maybe bachelor's degrees can rise beyond that point. I pray today in the mighty name of Jesus, those structures will yield to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, those structures that are standing as hindrance, they will bow to the God of Israel. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jericho also represented, for the people that are seen, it represented an unyielding resistance. Historians tell us that the walls of Jericho were so thick that they had a horse race track on it. So people could come and race their horses on the walls, not inside the city, not outside the city, on the walls. That was how thick it was. Even us, lucky number seven was there. Praise the Lord. So it was that thick. Now imagine a wall that was that thick to accommodate horse races. Just imagine the kind of fortification that they were built into it to ensure that nothing passes through it, nothing breaks it down. But if you go further, you know, after seeing all of these clear, undeniable barriers that the children of Israel were seeing, after seeing it, if you go further, verse 2 of Joshua, God says, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." God is saying that, look, I will not give Jericho to your hand. God is saying, I have given Jericho into your hand. So in spite of what they were seeing, God is saying that I have given, I have done it. God calls those things which do not exist as though they were. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. Jericho, a lot of times, God is saying to us, we should see Jericho not as an obstacle, but rather as a mirror. We should see Jericho not as an obstacle, but rather as a mirror. And a mirror meaning that, what do you interpret this hindrance to be? What is it about this hindrance that unsettles you? What is it about this hindrance that still controls your responses? We all have challenges. We all have things that maybe we struggle with. I mean, for example, when I left secondary school, life directed me in a very long story for another day. But bottom line, I found myself in a polytechnic. And I graduated from the polytechnic. And I saw obstacles with the degree that I had gotten, which was an HND. And I knew that that degree, the HND, could actually be a limitation in my life. And on my own, as I was graduating like this, I immediately went to enroll again for a BSc, and I started all over again. Though the BSc was a part-time, but I started and I did it and went all the way, 5 years, and I graduated. And I have a BSc. But guess what? All through my corporate life, before I became an entrepreneur, never for one day did I get a job because of the BSc. Never for one day. Because the only job that I got ever in my life based on my qualification or my CV was my first job, which was based on the HND. From the first bank that I worked to the second bank that I worked, that second bank came, heard about what I was doing. Without me applying, they offered me a job. I took it. My third job, one of the accounts I was managing while I was in that first bank realized it was losing value in the bank because I had left and I wasn't managing his account. He came after me, offered me a job, and I left. And on, I got 5 different jobs before I left the corporate world, and all of them were based on references. Never about my degree. Never about the obstacle that I saw in the HND. So even though I have the BSc, I'll be honest with you, I don't know where that certificate is to today. The BSc certificate, because I never used it. I'm being honest. But what am I saying? Because of the obstacle that I saw, it made me to run and go and get the BSc. But God is saying that, look, that Jericho that stands before you, see it as a mirror. Mirror that you can bring, what it reflects on you. Bring it to me and let me deal with it. Because God is saying that he will unsettle all those things that unsettles you. He's saying that he will control all those things that are attempting to control you. Because that's what he did for me. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get a good job. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to get a good career because I had a limitation in my HND. But God said, no, your movement, what you do in your life, is not going to be about that certificate. It's going to be about what I decide that you are going to do. Hallelujah. Question for us to reflect on. As you struggle, even the first 4 months of this year, what if that thing that is like a barrier before you right now, what if God is saying to you that it is not meant to stop you, but it is rather to expose you to the things that you need to begin to do? We'll move on to the second S. The second S, which is submission. Everybody say submission. Everybody say submission. Joshua chapter 6, 3 to 5 tells us about the instruction. If CMM can bring it up, I like that. It tells us about the instruction that God gave to the children of Israel. He said, walk around. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you have to march around the town 7 times with the priest blowing the horns. Verse 5, it says, when you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. Submission. God said to them, walk around the city. God said to them, remain silent. First day, God said to them, repeat the process. The second day, God said to them, repeat the process. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. And in all of this, God did not explain to them why they were doing that. Why the long wait? God has shown them how powerful he was. God, they will say, use the blast of his nostrils to part the Red Sea. They had seen it. They had seen that he could do it. They had seen God use Moses, eat the rock, a rock, and water burst forth. They had seen it. They had seen this, rather. They had seen how enemy nations were falling down, the right and the left. They had seen this. They had seen how snakes were biting them. And they looked at a bronze serpent, and God healed them. They had seen it. So what was Jericho? That God would now say, just be walking around. Just be walking around. Just be walking around. And in that walking, keep quiet. Don't say anything. It takes matured believers. It takes matured Christians to be able to submit to God's instructions. Why? Because Isaiah 55, 8 to 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. As far as the heavens is, so far are my thoughts from your thoughts. God is saying to you, just listen to my instruction. Just obey me. Just obey. Just follow the instruction that God has given you. There are two levels of obedience that we must understand as believers. There is one called the explanatory obedience. That's when you obey because you understand. But there is also what they call the relational obedience, where you obey because you trust. God is saying that for us to walk fully and enjoy the benefits of all his plan for us, we must move away from explanatory obedience to relational obedience, where we can simply trust him. And just trust him. Jericho confronts us with this question. And the question is, do I need God to make sense before I submit to him? Do I need God to always make sense before I submit to him. New wine, as we are trusting, new wine that we're expecting, is usually entrusted to those who come into agreement with God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We can't wait to understand God. As a matter of fact, was it not Pastor that said it? That if you are waiting at all times to fully understand everything God says you should do before you do it, you will miss out on everything that God is planning. Are we going to be submissive enough to just trust him? To just trust him? Are we going to be submissive enough to just trust him? This takes us to the third S. The third S, which is silence. Sorry about that. The third S, which is silence. Silence, the restraint of the inner life. For 6 days, Israel was commanded to remain silent. They were instructed to remain silent. Just keep walking around Jericho, walking around it. Don't say a word. Just walk around it with the hack going in front. Just keep walking. Why did God have to say, keep quiet? Why did God have to say, don't say a word? Why did Joshua have to instruct them? Do not say a word. James chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 explains to us how powerful the tongue is. It says, the tongue is a small member, yet it sets on fire the course of nature. Just the tongue, powerful. So if God had allowed, if Joshua had allowed the children of Israel as they were walking around Jericho, if he had said to them, you can talk, probably gossip would have entered. Probably some discouragements would have entered. I don't even know what is going on with this God, though. It's as if God is busy. He just put us on his coming. He just told us to be walking all around, all around. We've been waiting day one, day two. If God really wants to do this thing, can't he just, the way he used his nostrils to blast the Red Sea, can he not just blast down these Jericho walls? Discouragements. All sorts of people would have heard all sorts of things. But there was a need to do what? Keep quiet. Because when you keep quiet, you cannot be misquoted. When you are quiet, you cannot be misunderstood. There's a lot of wisdom. When God has given you an instruction, just follow and keep quiet. If God has given you an idea, God has told you something to do, just do what? Keep quiet and just action. Just keep quiet and just action. The children of Israel and Joshua, they knew that unregulated speech can disrupt divine process. Unregulated speech can disrupt divine process. At times, those speech, those things that we're saying, they actually make a lot of sense. But as we understood in the last section, that you can't walk based on your own understanding. Your understanding is so, so, so low compared to what God's plan or understanding is. So it is better if you choose to want to walk with God to just do what? Keep quiet. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. When you are quiet, the truth is that you are even able to hold more tension. You are able to hold and carry instruction better. You are able to resist premature expression. The time, think about it, when the children of Israel were walking around Jericho, what do you think the people inside Jericho were doing? I won't be surprised if they were even firing arrows at them, or throwing stones at them, or pouring water, hot water, trying to disarray them, trying to confuse them. If you were given an opportunity to talk, some of them would have said, Joshua, can't you see what these people are doing? Do something. But because they held on to that instruction of keep quiet, be silent, God moved. God will move for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Where is your own speech ahead of what God is preparing for you? New wine requires a vessel that can contain weight without leaking through words. New wine that God wants to release requires the kind of vessel that can carry weight, that can hold matter without it leaking through words. I've seen a lot of times where God wants to do some things, even in my own life, that in the past that I've made a mistake of talking too much about it, and I've seen it sizzle away. I've seen it just sizzle away. Or at times I still experience it, but I don't experience it as maximally as I should. And I'm sure if we think about it, a lot of us can relate. By the way, maybe I forgot to mention at the beginning, everything I'm saying today, I'm actually preaching to myself. Because I know that I also need this word from God. If you are like me, you will take it seriously. Hallelujah. Number 4S. How many did I say we were going to do? Okay, I'm just trying to be like pastor. You know, he's the one that will send a reminder like that to make sure that we are all on the same page. Hallelujah. Steadiness. The 4th S. Steadiness. Consistency without results. Day after day, they walked, and there was no visible change. 6 days, they were just walking. Day one, no visible change. Day two, no visible change. Day three, day four, day five. The world we live in today is the world that expects everything to be immediate. It's the Indomie world, 3 minutes noodles. That's the world we're hiring today. We are always like, anything I do today, I want to see the results. God says, take care of your wife. You're like, okay, but I bought her a gift yesterday. She wasn't nice to me today. Why should I continue tomorrow? No. You have to continue for 6 days. Hallelujah. For some people, it may be 6 months. For some people, it may be 6 years. I pray it will not be 6 decades before you begin to see the changes that you are looking for. Amen. But even if you have to wait 6 decades to see that change, when that change comes, it is extremely fulfilling that you will forget the 6 decades of wait. And the same way, the reverse also. Praise God. Remain steady in what God has told you to do. Remain steady. There's nobody thank God, you guys know I'm a farmer. When you plant something, the day you plant it is not the day it germinates. The day you plant it is not the day that you harvest it. But you must remain consistent and steady in nurturing it. Otherwise, the eventual harvest will not be worth it. Your own harvest will be worth it in the mighty name of Jesus. A lot of times, repetition, when we have to do the same thing over and over, it can be boring. It can be tiring. But God is saying, stay there. Because that change that you are expecting, it's not showing yet, but it is building up. Why? When you are in that place of just being steady, being consistent, doing what you need to do, like for example now, we're going to be very soon moving into the God Will Do Again service. period. Don't get discouraged. When we say, okay, it's time to come and pray, come and pray. When it's time to praise, come and praise. When it's time to vigil, come and vigil. What you eventually become through that process is far more important to God than what you get out of the process. God is waiting on you. God is saying, look, I want to teach you patience. I want you to be able to control your anxiety. I want you to be focused on the relationship. Focus on what you are becoming rather than what you want to get. Because for the children of Israel, just imagine if they had aborted mission on the sixth day. Just imagine if they had said, they are not doing again. This thing is not achieving any results. Every day, think about it also, even from the Jericho residents' perspective. Maybe the first day, you know, Jericho shut down their walls because they have heard of what God had done. So they were like, okay, these people of God, don't let us allow them into our city. So they had heard. So day one, they saw the children of Israel just walking around. They may have been afraid, like, ah, what's going on? Yeah, this God is about to do something again. Then they finished walking around and they went back to camp. In their mind, they could have been saying, ah, nothing happened though. Is it that their juju did not work this time around? Then day two, they saw the children of Israel, come again, walk all around. And they go back home. And nothing happened again. They themselves would have started building confidence. Like, this is their juju. Be like, say that don't expire. It's not working again. The enemy, when he sees that consistency, what their job is to do what? Is to throw all sorts of insults, discouragements at us. Like, it's not going to work. You're just wasting your time. We've seen what God can do. This is not what God told you to do. You are doing the wrong thing. But God is saying to you, I need you to just stay there. I need you to be patient. I need you to be more enduring. I'm building muscles. I'm building capacity in you. The enemy won't be seeing that. But God knows what he is doing. Because God is simply aligning you. He's aligning you. He's aligning you until the fifth S, which is your season. The fifth S, your season. Season means fullness before manifestation. On the seventh day, something reached completion. And that was what God wanted to do. Seven, on the seventh day, represents completion. Because that's what Genesis chapter 2 verse 2 tells us. On the seventh day, God ended his work. So, on the seventh day, when they walked around, God was done. Now, there are seasons for different things. You know, someone called me up this week and was saying like, do you have this particular fruit? He mentioned it. And I said, no, I don't have it right now because it's out of season. Your own season is coming. This is the season right now for mangoes, right? There's plenty mango everywhere right now. But if you look around, you realize that there are no avocados. Oh, sorry, there's avocado. Agbalumo season. The Agbalumo lovers. There's no Agbalumo anywhere now. It's scarce because it is not worse. It's not its season. So God is saying, just be patient. Your own season is coming. And when it comes, you are the one that will enjoy it. You are the one that will shine at that time. You are the one. And at that time, when your season comes, there's nothing that the enemy can do about it. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says, in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart. The breakthrough that the children of Israel experienced on the seventh day did not come about because God changed his mind. It came about because the process reached its appointed completion. The breakthrough that they experienced, the city walls crushing and coming down, it didn't happen because God just said, okay, it's time. It happened because it was the appointed time. And the children of Israel followed the entire process. And they reached that appointed time. You will not abort mission in the mighty name of Jesus. You will get to your appointed season. And of course, the things we also need to know about seasons is that different crops, different seasons. Different crops, different seasons. Your own season is going to be slightly different from your neighbor's season. You may not be maturing at the same time, but you are guaranteed to mature at your own time, at your own appointed time. So some people may have experienced their own new wine in January this year. And you are wondering like, okay, mine is coming. And you are in April, end of April right now. And it hasn't come. The revelation awaits an appointed time. The Bible says, though it tarries, surely it will come to pass. Just relaxed. Your season is coming in the mighty name of Jesus. Sixth S. The sixth S, talks about sound. Sound. Agreement through declaration. Joshua 6:16 says, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Joshua did not say that the shout came before the evidence. The shout was, he instructed them that the shout comes before the evidence. So at the time when they had gone round for 6 days, and the seventh day, they had gone round seven times on the seventh day, the instruction was shout, and as soon as they shouted, the walls came crushing down. It came crashing down. If they had done all of that and they are still not shouted, mission would have been aborted. Because the full completion was for us to now align. They used their vocal cords to align, to agree with God. The shout wasn't just an emotional one. It is a shout saying that we agree with God's completed word. When we declare, we're not just making noise. We are saying with our mouths that we align. That we align. And shouting can come in all sorts of forms in today's world. Shouting could be us just simply saying, God, I agree with you. Shouting could be, God, this is my testimony. This is what I declare that I'm seeing. This is what I declare that I'm receiving. And when we do that, the walls begin to come down. The walls begin to come down. They shouted even when the walls were still standing. It wasn't the shout alone that brought the walls down. It was the agreement with God. And God saw it and God had to play his own part. The walls came crushing down. The seventh S now, the final seventh S, which is what I call the shift. When we shift, which is manifestation through alignment. Joshua 6:20 says, the wall fell down flat. The wall fell down flat. 2 Corinthians 14, 16 to 18 says, though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. God prioritizes inner transformation. God prioritizes the inner transformation of the children of Israel. That what they experienced through that entire 7 days of trusting God, of obeying Him. Picture it, assuming you were there. This was 7 days of full obedience. 7 days of not being able to vocalize their thoughts. 7 days of not being able to discuss their plights with their neighbors. These are 7 days of full, complete, total obedience. And of course, that caused a shift because God had seen that for 7 full days, they were able to align completely. The question now is for you, are you ready to remain aligned with God? Are you ready to remain aligned completely, even from your internal being, from your thoughts, from your words, from your actions? Are you ready to fully align? Because that is what will cause the shift that we are expecting. The new wine that we're trusting God for this year, that's what will cause it. Are you ready to fully align with God? Complete internal alignment. Because when alignment is complete internally, manifestation becomes inevitable externally. Are we ready to fully align? For the children of Israel, God was preparing a people who would carry the promise without corruption. God wasn't looking for a people who would just get hyped away, or God would just come, press a button, and sort them out. God was saying that I'm looking for a people that will stay with me, that will walk with me through the journey. I'm looking for a people that will walk with me through the entire process. And the children of Israel proved it. Because for 7 straight days, they stayed permanently hooked on obeying God. Ask yourself today, where am I resisting God's instructions in my life? What is it that God has said you should do that you have not done? What is that idea that God has dropped in your hearts that He wants you to do something about and you haven't moved? It could be there that's your new wine that you're expecting. It could be found there. Again, you should be asking yourself, where do I still depend? Where in my life do I still depend on understanding before obedience? Where I'm saying to myself, if it doesn't make sense, I'm not going to make a move. But God is saying, no, make that move. Make that move. It may not be making sense right now, but make that move. You know that this is what God is saying. God is dropping it in your heart. Again, we should ask ourselves, where is my speech? In which direction is my speed going? The words that comes out of my mouth, in which direction is it going? Is it taking you to the promised land? Is the speech that comes out of your mouth, is it the kind that can force Jericho to fall down? Or is it the kind that can fortify the walls of Jericho that is standing around you? Again, I want us to ask ourselves, how is impatience shaping our decisions? Impatience, how is it shaping our decisions? Are we ready to just wait on God? Or are we in a hurry? Just like the world, are we in a hurry? You know, these are questions that we need to wrestle with. Because it is when we are clear about us not resisting God's instructions, When we are sure that we are ready to obey without fully understanding, when we are sure and clear about the direction of our speech, when we are ready to be patient in our decisions, that's when the Jericho walls will come crashing down. And I pray in the name of Jesus that God will create us a clean heart, a new heart, that will be able to action on all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. So as I finish, I want us to just pray. Psalm 51 verse 10. It says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. The new heart, the clean heart that will be able to receive and do that which is necessary, that God should create it in us. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us turn into a prayer right now. Every one of us. Create in me a clean heart. Renew your right spirit within me. While we're praying that prayer, maybe there's someone here. Not even maybe. I know that there's someone here. What you need is salvation. What you need is to accept and begin to walk with God. I want to ask, if you are such a person, just raise up your hand wherever you are. You want to turn to God. You want to turn to God. You know that you are not saved. You know you are not born again. You know that you have not given your life to Christ. Or maybe you have given your life to Christ in the past, but you walked away from Him. You have the opportunity to come back today. Just raise up your hand wherever you are. I want to put a card in your hand. We're not asking you to come forward. You just want to put a card in your hand. That's all we're going to do. Just raise it up above your head boldly. Show that you are a serious person. Show that to the heavens that you are ready to walk with God. You are ready to begin to live with Him. If you are such a person, or maybe you are online, the instructions are scrolling on the screen. The online pastors will reach out to you also. But if you are here, you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just raise up your hand the way I'm raising it up. Raise it up above your head so that we can see you. And we'll pray together. And that's all that is required. The rest of us, let's pray that God will create for us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. God will help us to refine our obedience. God will sanctify our speech, stabilize our inner life, and bring us into His fullness. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Rondi brasiri kashendi ele bahira hasanta rabashari kate lendu saki bahande broshedi kete
rakasata da bari kisete de bode kisete re ba 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 rakasati de 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 rasata da kasata da bari kisete. Come on, let's still pray. Create me a new heart, O Lord. Take away the heart of stone and give me the heart of flesh. That as the word has been sent forth, O Lord, let His word change me. Let it refine me. Let it build a new character in me. In the name of Jesus. Create in me
clean heart, O Lord. And renew the right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away, cast me not away from Your presence.
That's cry of our hearts, O Lord, that you create in us a new heart, O Lord. I renew a right spirit within us. Father, we thank you for your word that has been sent through your Son. Father, we pray, O Lord, that this word will renew a right spirit within us, O Lord, and will be released into our destiny. For in Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Somebody say, God bless you, Pastor K. Amen. Amen.